Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
Everything that comes out of God must live with a message. So when the miracle working of the hand of God upon the life of an individual has a message attached to it. And I want us to look at scripture very briefly to understand three very important messages that come out of the miraculous. Listen, if you are here trusting God for a genuine anointing to work in miracles, signs, and wonders, then you must discern this. It's a reality that has changed my life. Most times, we receive miracles, we desire miracles, but we do not sustain the grace to understand and interpret what those miracles are saying. The first message that comes along with every manifestation of a miracle, a sign, and a wonder is a revelation of the love of Jesus. The love of the Father. The love of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Every time you receive a miracle, be it a breakthrough, a restoration, more than the object you have received, discern the letter that was sent with that miracle. It is the Lord speaking to you that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with my loving kindness, I have drawn you. Listen, the first message that the miraculous brings along with that miracle is the message of the love of Jesus. If you do not discern the love of Jesus through miracles, then you have wasted that miracle. You have not maximized the benefit of that miracle. So every time a door opens for you, as an individual, as a ministry, as a business, every time God magnifies you, every time God lifts you, every time the barren rejoice with children, every time the sick are healed, discern that more than the unique miracle, there is a message. Love. Because many times, you see, the devil uses these situations and circumstances to also speak to us. And most times in the midst of pain or sickness or poverty or whatever it is, we come up with all kinds of messages that were fabricated by the pit of hell. Does God really love me? Is it true that God cares about me? Remember, that was what they asked Jesus in the boat. When they were going to the other side, the Bible says he was sleeping. The moment he was walking, you know, the boat started capsizing and it looked like everything was going to turn around. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" In other words, where is proof of the love you always talk about? So Jesus got up and had to defend his love. And in defending it, he said, "Shalom, be still." Every time a miracle happens to you, do not just embrace the miracle, discern the message. And message number one is, regardless of what situations and circumstances attempt to tell you about God, it remains true that God is love and that he loves you with an everlasting love. The consciousness of the love of God will transform your life forever. We live in a world today where love is very scarce. We live in a world today where love is based on merit. But God uses the miraculous to introduce you to a dimension of his love and to remind you again that God is love. What a powerful message. The love of God, the love of Jesus, expressed not just through words, but through signs, through wonders, through miracles. When he saw the woman who had suffered with the issue of blood, when that woman got healed, it was a message. It was not just an end to a life of hemorrhage. It was a message. I love you and I care about you that much. John chapter 3 and verse 16, a popular scripture that many of us have forgotten. It says, for God so loved the world, he proved that he loved by giving. So on that cross, he was not just a man that was dying. He was using his blood to write a letter. And the letter is that I love you with an everlasting love. Isn't it amazing how many people will say, I love you, but when it has to do with now proving it. But he did not just say, I love you. He came, went to the cross, and whilst his blood was dripping to the earth, it was not weakness. It was the sacrifice of love. I assure you, it was not nails that held him to that cross. He was the one who was holding the nail to walk in the first place. The word that upholds all things by the word of his power. He would have called on a legion. When Lucifer rebelled, it was not even God that fought. It would be an insult for Jesus to have fought. Are we together? Love. The love of Jesus should change you. It should give you confidence. It should let you know that I am the beloved. The beloved. He's not ashamed to declare his vulnerability towards the saints. This is why he seeks for every opportunity to reveal his. Listen, when you know the love of God, then it kills fear. Because perfect love has a very unique quality, that it has a defense system against fear. There is something about not knowing the love of a man or the love of God. Are we together?
Yes.
I returned this afternoon and one of my little daughters, as soon as she saw me, I was having a haircut and she didn't even mind. As soon as she saw me, she shouted, Daddy, and came with joy. And the barber had to wait patiently. Even me, I had to wait. Without asking for any permission, without saying, are you tired? She just jumped on me with joy. Perfect love casts out fear. Every time there is restraint to your advancement, there is something about the love of God you do not know. The love of God is powerful. It's not some feminist emotional thing. There is energy. There is power in the recognition of the love of God towards you. Hallelujah. For there is jealousy attached with true love. Every dimension of true love has a jealousy component. The jealousy dimension of love is what energizes defending it. When you touch someone's child, for instance, it is that jealousy component that will make the man say, why are you touching my child? There is a jealousy component. So when God says, I love you, that means there is a dimension of jealousy he has for you. So when Satan buffets you and attempts to write something that is not him, there is an eagerness in him to correct it. I want you to understand that before you got here, the Spirit of God was already here. You are not the one trying to beg and say, Lord, look down on us. There is an eagerness. It's not your ego that is at stake. It's his own reputation that is at stake. If he leaves you the way you came, then you have a justification to say, Lord, but you said you love me. The revelation of the love of God. Don't take lightly what I share with you. These are very simple but deep spiritual truths. Discerning the miraculous. The day I came to terms with the fact that God loved me so lavishly, he gave me a revelation that made me believe that out of everyone in the world, I had a unique place in his heart. And I really, really believe it. I have seen God do things that only lovers do. What God has done in my life, gods don't do it, only lovers do. Listen to me. Carry that consciousness. I will reign in life because the creator of the ends of the earth loves me. You remain on top because the love of Jesus. Do you know the Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed towards us. The love of Jesus. Very quickly, number two. What is the second message that we find in miracles, signs and wonders? The revelation of the might and the power of God. It is important that we understand that in as much as God is love, He is all powerful. Psalm 62 and verse 11. Psalm 62 and verse 11. It says, God had spoken wise. Twice have I heard that power. Some versions say all power belongs to the Lord. Say that after me. All power belongs to the Lord. One more time. Say it. All power. Yes, sir. Not some. If God has some power, then whoever gave it to him, he must worship that person. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. One of the reasons why we worship is because of the awareness of a need or incompleteness. One of among the many elements that sponsor worship is the awareness that you are not complete in yourself. So it makes you to acknowledge the one who completes you. So if ever God is not complete, then he owes whoever completes him worship. Are we together? The might and the power. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Above sickness, above defeat, above failure, above limitations. Please believe this. Believe this. Number one, believe that Christ is exalted above all these things. Number two, believe that now in him and with him you are exalted also. That's what the Bible tells us. Paul was teaching us that we have been raised up with Christ. Believe this. Exalted far above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, every name that is named, not only in this age, but even that which is to come. He's exalted above all. This is the reason why when we command in his name and as touching that authority, the only thing that should not answer is what is above him. You see that? You see, according to the law of ranking in military, nobody who is lower than the person who is giving a command dares to ask questions. The moment a decree is given, the only person who sustains the ability to object is an officer who is higher than the person who gave the command. This is why he gave us his name. And he didn't give us his name before he died. Because if he gave us his name before he died, he had not yet gotten the keys. Satan was still the god of this world. If he gave us his name before he died, the authority that he used to walk on earth with was the authority that the Spirit of God brought for him. That's why he had to wait for the Holy Ghost to function. When he resurrected, there is no mention of the Holy Ghost backing him. No, all authority. Now, this is Jesus. That resurrected Christ, he now gave us his name like we have taught here. So when we make decrees, I want you to understand why when we speak, God begins to honor. It's not just because a man is anointed. It's because according to that law of ranking, when we speak and we make decrees, there is a law in the spirit that even God honors, demons honor, Satan honors. So everything that is truly below that name must answer. Ordinarily speaking, it shouldn't answer to you because you are created, except for the fact that you are not the one speaking. When you speak, if you understand what you are saying, the realm of the spirit does not see you. It sees the office, not the person. So in reality, it's not just the individual. The might of God. Let me tell you something. God is a mighty God. That means it is within his power to turn your life around. Some of you may not be needing healing, but you are at points in your life where you need to see the outstretched arm. Can I tell you this? I will continue to encourage the body of Christ that whilst it is true that we do not seek God just for things, our love for him is not predicated on what we get. However, in his love and in his benevolence, he has left us a testament backed with his integrity that no one seeks him and goes empty-handed. There are blessings. The Bible calls them benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and in blessing him, do not forget that he's not a selfish God. Remember his benefits. And he lists the benefits. God is a mighty God. That's why we have the confidence that he can turn our lives around. We believe that he's a mighty God. Someone say he's a mighty God. Prophesy to your life over your situation. He is a mighty God. Yes, sir. All power belongs to him. So when he says it is your season of victory, when he says it is your season of lifting, forget about what was said. Focus on the one who said it first. Is he worth your believing? Are we together? If I tell you to collect 1,000 naira or 10,000 naira from me after service, forget about what I said. Focus on the person who said it. Does he have the ability to give you 10,000 now? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence. So help comes. Help does not just appear. There is a location where help resides. It says, my help cometh, just like faith cometh. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I've said it here that it's not only heaven and earth he makes. He also makes men. He also makes destinies. The maker of the heaven and the earth, the maker of destinies, the one who can pick an ordinary person from anywhere, regardless the background, and lift you. Listen, don't be left behind. God is shifting people into levels and dimensions in destiny. Don't sit down arguing and wondering, can God make a way in the wilderness? Don't sit down and say, I come from a village. I am not as educated as I would have wanted to be. I cannot even speak English well. We are talking about the creator of the ends of the earth. The maker. It's a name and an attribute of God that very few people understand. To make means to combine the right ingredients and produce a definite outcome. Make rice for me. You go to the market and source for everything that you use to make quality rice. Are we together? Alongside the sense to combine them. You can buy the ingredients and not have the intelligence to combine them. You will still not make that thing. So when you call God the maker, that means he knows that For you to rise, you need prosperity, you need health, you need influence. Someone from Lagos needs to know you. Someone from London needs to know you. And like a woman goes to the market to shop, he will go round by his spirit, shop for people and things. Bring them together to your life. This is what Paul was trying to say, that God is able to make all grace abound. Don't forget this example. The might of God. The one who is mighty is not just the one who does mighty things, but the one who can look for the ingredients. Listen, those of you who have vehicles, how many of you know that there are vehicles we hardly buy? Not just because they are expensive, but their parts, they are rare. It's difficult to look for the parts. Today you can't just get up and go and buy a plane and say, give me a plane. No, they have to vet you. Who are you? How did you make your money? You can't go and buy weapons today. No, you must receive a letter from a government backing you. On what grounds and what would you use it for? What is the legal backing? If your weapons are found with a terrorist, what should be done to you? So when the Bible says he's the maker, that means there are many people who try, but their strength cannot reach your destiny helper. Their strength cannot restore all of the ingredients that must be coordinated in your life for your life to speak his praise. God is able to make. It's one thing for God to take you somewhere, but it's one thing for God to bring that somewhere to you. Gentiles, your Bible says, shall come. There are times he will take you before kings, but there are times Gentiles will come to your light, and they are kings. These are the attributes that makes him mighty. Holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, is the Lord. My life is full of your glory. My life is full of your glory. This is the God that we serve. So when he moves mightily, listen, it's one thing for God to do signs and wonders, but it's another thing for him to make you. You become a living wonder. It says, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and we are for wonders in Israel. Please believe this. So that whilst we are praying, you will remember again what God told you. That you may be small now, but I will lift you among your family members and put you in a position of grace. And then the devil tries to tell you, where did he leave all the people there? Then you just remember that the person talking is the maker. The maker. We're used to men making promises and failing. I will give you a job, they say. And by next week, they've been sacked out of that position. Because even though they were occupying that position as managers, there was an authority above them. You only become afraid of what God has said if there's someone higher than him. Because the person higher than him can stop him from doing it. But he swore, he searched if there was one greater. And not finding any, he swore by his name that by these two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. Please hear me. From any level and at any dimension in life, this God, this mysterious God, is able to pick you from where you are and lift you beyond your wildest imagination. Please hear me, my dear people. Do not allow society bully you with their sense of mediocrity. Everyone was created. No matter the color of your skin, no matter what region, you are still a creature. The only person that you truly owe that fear and reverence is the one who created, who can change times. And if he has decided to tell you that this is your season, then believe it. Believe it. Don't believe that rubbish. I can't be lifted in Zaria. I can't prosper. I can't see the outstretched arm of God. Remember what I told you. It is not always that God takes you to the place of the blessing. There are times he takes the blessing and looks for you. Where are you? He will search for you. Let me give you an example. When Jesus was born, they didn't carry a baby looking for the Magi. The Magi left their place of honor and they were searching around. They never said this place is uncomfortable. Not when there is grace there. This our vain search for greener pastures will only frustrate us for nothing. Greener pastures is where his word is. Where his word is. The sent word. Are you learning something tonight? So signs and wonders reveal to you that God is mighty. He's mighty. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. I wrote this song many years ago as a revelation of the depth of the comprehension of the might of God. It was a revelation that he brought to my life. Like Bishop Oyedepo would say, I didn't just see him high and lifted up alone. I saw myself too. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and to do all that I command you this day, that you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth. It says, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. I said, this is it. So every time I sing about him being highly lifted, first I take out time to worship him. But while I'm worshiping him, I know that I'm rising too, seated with him. When you know this, you will refuse to allow situations and circumstances to defeat you and make it look like the work on the cross was a just some Christian fables. No. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, not just the message, the power. There is power in that revelation. Hallelujah. So you know that you are not ordinary. This is not some Pentecostal talk. The only part of the hands you can see is the one that is physical. But that's not all there is. There is more to it. The only part of a life you can see is the one that is visible. It is not only what is visible that is real alone. Just because something is invisible does not mean it is unreal. And the prophet said, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw chariots, that you will see the backing of heaven that supports you, that you will see the favor of God, that you will see the spiritual arsenals that are around your life, determined to see that your destiny becomes a praise. Then fear dies. It dies a natural death. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. One more time, say in the name of Jesus. I declare that the mighty God is at work in my life, revealing his glory, revealing his power in my life. Listen, expect your life to be supernatural. Listen to what I'm teaching you. You will never truly bring glory to God if your life is ordinary. This is not just some Pentecostal talk. The only way men pay attention is when there is a supernatural dimension of anything. You are in ministry here, trust God for grace. In addition to the quality of your exegesis of scripture, there must be a deposit of a mighty hand of God upon your life to heal, to deliver, to change, to transform. Then you are a vessel unto honor. I prayed many years ago and I said, Lord, do not send me with only a sermon. A sermon is good, but not convincing enough to cause people to declare the praise of his name. Jesus already knew what he was going to say, but he did not speak until the Holy Ghost came. He didn't understand the gospel at age 30. No. Right from age 12, he already understood his message clearly. But he knew that the message alone would not do much. So he was patient for 18 more years until he was taken out of the water and the heavens opened and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The Bible says that same Spirit drove him to the wilderness, and after 40 days of fast and prayer, defeating the devil in it, he returned in the power. Listen, you really need power for end time ministry. Is a non-negotiable condition. And when I talk of power, I'm not just talking of falling down. Falling down here happens only in the church. I'm talking of shifting systems, bringing systems under the obedience of Christ. That's real dominion. Are you blessed? That you tell someone, may the Lord lift you. And it looks like a joke. He may not even agree with what you are saying. But you introduced an influence over that person's destiny. Look at the testimony of the dear, I think it's a lady also that was sharing about the sinuses and all those demonic things. God, keep us powerful. May we remain a generation that reveals your power, that reveal your glory in ever increasing dimension. May it never get to a point where we just become talkatives. Listen, the meaning of that is that every one of you, whether you are walking in the miraculous or not, remain a student in the school of the Spirit. This premature graduation out of pride is why many people remain mediocre in life. Are we together? The school of the Spirit, there is no graduation. You remain there. Even when you are teaching, you are still a student. As I search scripture, I am amazed at my level of ignorance. I am amazed at the spiritual dimensions I have not yet attained in the spirit. And my reference is not the achievements. The reference is the standard that was created by the early church. If we have not hit that standard, we are not there. It says to follow them who through faith. Who are the them? You need to define who your them is. If your them are mediocre, you will not go far. Let the them be Christ himself. And then everyone who fought, whoever listened to Jesus directly, you should listen to that person. And since that person is not there, listen to what they wrote by the Spirit. Are we together? Yeah. There are times where we send professionals, career people. We send professionals maybe to US, UK to go and study. Under certain notable individuals. Whether it's in the medical field, in science and tech. So the person comes back and say, I was trained under this and that. And people say, wow. Then that person now trains the other people in the company. Are we together now? And it will be foolish for the other people to not listen to that person because of the authority that he listened to. So if the apostles listened to Jesus and the Holy Ghost still came on them to write some things, it is pride to ignore what they are saying. Those guys can show you the way. They were the first fruit of his teaching, his mentorship. Weak Peter. But he kept listening to the lectures. And a time came when people were waiting for his shadow. We need to restore the miraculous back to the body of Christ, to the degree and the dimension that will reveal the might of God. Thank God for the little things we do here and there. Falling down, standing up, one headache, one ache, one person here is wonderful, but no farm receive and harvest from dew. It takes rain. Dew is wonderful. It introduces a season to you, but it's not enough to cause a harvest. Don't celebrate dew. It says, as for the rain, the former and the latter. That means there is a kind of harvest. For one dimension of rain to not be enough, it says, ask both for the former and the latter. Is God speaking to us? The second message that comes with the miraculous is the desire to reveal the might of God in and through the saints. Number three, and then we begin to pray. What is the third message? The third message is found in Acts chapter 15 from verse 25. That when God allows for miracles and signs and wonders to happen, it is the fulfillment of his desire for world evangelism, the global harvest of souls. Acts chapter 16. Did I say 15? 16 from verse 25. Acts chapter 16. The Bible says, Paul and Silas, remember when a lady came under the spirit of divination, trying to partner with them, and they rebuked that spirit, and the people ran out of business. They mobilized the city to beat them, etc. Now they found themselves in prison. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, look up please, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Next scripture. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. This is God now. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. 27. And the keeper or the jailer of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors opened, he drew out his own sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Next verse. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came in trembling. Look at, as a result of the miracle, he fell down before Paul and Silas. 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That guy was in that prison. Salvation was a possibility. Yet the occasion that would sponsor it was a spectacular manifestation of the hand of God. Do you know what it means for the prison? Because in those days, if those prisoners left, truly they were going to kill that person by hanging or some kind of cruel means. So he was going to kill himself. And said, no. Paul said, don't worry, we're not in a rush. The hand that opened this prison should make you afraid. What are we rushing for? If we opened it by ourselves, maybe somebody forgot a key, then we can quickly come out because you can collect the key. But a prison that was shaken to the foundation, when will you build it back? What's the rush for? And the man said, no, I've not seen this in this manner. Let me tell you, we will win nations in one day if we allow certain dimensions of the power of God to come. There are families full of people who have, it's almost like a sworn oath that they will never give their lives to Jesus Christ. They will tell you, before you were born, we were in this idol worship. Go to church, pray for us. They will even give you prayer requests. But one of these days, we are going to see spectacular manifestations of the power of God. Not just in churches. Miracles in the church is good, but it doesn't profit so much because we are all saved. Most of us are saved. We need to take the hand of God to the regions that need to be saved. Next verse. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Notice that every time salvation comes, it does not seek to stop with you, your house. As for me and my house, the work of salvation is not complete if you are the only one who is saved alone. As for me and my family, as for me and my lineage. One supernatural miracle of a madman brought 10 cities to Jesus. A Decapolis. Remember the woman, the harlot at the well that Jesus met? She went and said, come see a man. Mighty salvation. This one-on-one evangelism, we thank God for it. But we will grow old and even transit if Christ tarries and will not do much. I was sharing somewhere and I said, we're getting close to 8 billion on earth. And let me tell you, there are just a little over 2 billion people who have had the opportunity to hear the gospel and declare that they are professing Christians. And of course, you know that if we are to still sieve between that one, there will be a lot of stories again. Because those 2.6 or so billion means Christians, pseudo-Christians. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't have a passion for souls, the Holy Spirit is not truly at work in your life. Believe me when I tell you, it's not an insult, it's true. There is something about a genuine passion for souls. More than a passion to look good. More than a passion to drive a car. More than a passion to move forward. Because the Bible says if our hope is only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Inasmuch as it's good to have the prosperity, the car, the houses, all of those things are coordinated tools to help that Jesus be revealed, that Jesus be glorified, but that there will be a sweep, a global sweep. In one year, a virus or a flu that does not talk, does not sing praise and worship, does not clash cymbal, doesn't have a visa, doesn't have a passport, made the entire globe to shut down. Imagine that virus was the gospel. Now listen to me. We must wake up and know that in as much as we are doing well, there is still more to be done. So the whole earth can actually be disobedient. How many announcements have been made that were dishonored by nations? Even when they declare national fast, there are people who, as they are declaring, they are eating right there and then. Yet, today, in obedience to that virus, you obey rules that have been strengthened by the government. There's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. I'm just using it as a statement. Oh, that makes me know that the harvest is not as hard as we think it is. There is something we must sustain truly. If we can be that infectious. Because that thing I hear is deadly. You don't have to believe in me to receive it. You come close to me and the thing comes on you. Look at the skills. I even hear that there are different strands. Look at the intelligence reinventing itself to make sure efficiency is kept. Now, this is a lecturer to the church. Learn how to advance the kingdom. It is not true that it's because visas are not given. No, I don't believe that. It is not true that because you are not invited. No, you don't have to be invited around the world for the world to be saved. Just be like the virus. Study the virus. That from a little city, you would have laughed and said, where will you go? The virus says, you watch me. Watch what I will do in the airports. Watch what I will do in hospitals. Now, I apologies to all those who love their loved ones or who are victims of it. We'll pray for those who are infected with COVID and all of that. But I'm just trying to draw a lesson. A virus. Imagine that it's in a small city and saying, world, the next 1 year of your life will never be the same. And we say, oh, look, come on. We have intelligent labs, we have medical people, we have professors, we have all kinds of people, and the virus says, let's go. Empowered by spirits from the waters. They say, we are here to back you.
We want more, Lord. We are desperate people.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by spiritnerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with spiritnerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.